Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. We have some breaking news here. Shots fired near National Mall. Press escorted off North Lawn. The Secret Service reported an officer-involved shooting Monday near the National Mall, which resulted in a response from emergency response teams. The shooting took place at 15th Street and Independence Avenue, adjacent to the Washington Monument. One individual was shot by law enforcement. Their condition is currently unknown, Secret Service wrote in a post on X. Please avoid the area as emergency crews are responding. The White House did not immediately respond to the Hill's request for comment on the incident. It's not clear if the shooting had anything to do with the White House or President Trump, and it took place a fair distance from the White House grounds. The Washington Monument is south of the White House, a little over a mile away. Independence Avenue and 15th Street Southwest is just a few blocks beyond that. Press was immediately escorted off the North Lawn following the gunfire and sheltered in a briefing room. And that's the video that you're seeing there from Alec Lace, journalist being rushed off the North Lawn into the briefing room after Secret Service shot somebody with a gun near the White House. MPD is on the scene of the investigation. They say avoid the area as roads will be closed for several hours. Additional updates will come as information is provided. They say tensions are high around the White House after a man with armed with a gun, a shotgun, and several knives ran past security during the White House Correspondents Association annual dinner a little more than a week ago. The man is suspected of seeking to carry out an assassination attempt against Trump because he wrote a whole manifesto saying that was his purpose. Trump was at the White House delivering remarks at a small business summit at the time of the report. So, again, we don't have any confirmation that this had anything to do with the White House, but clearly Secret Service was involved, and we just saw from the person who posted the video of the reporters running from the North Lawn that it was a Secret Service involved shooting, which is very suspicious. But this is a regular thing. I mean, it's getting to the point that it's practically daily now, but I think we're going to see an increase of this. I mean, you have the attacker of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and then like the next day you have somebody discovered sneaking onto Trump's golf course. Here you have this guy. I mean, I'm sure all of these will be downplayed because one of the strategies of the media is to disguise or hide or downplay trends that should be, you know, should actually have political responses to them. But if they don't tell you about them, if they don't draw it for you in your mind that this is a pattern, this is a trend, this needs to be interrupted, then a lot of people have trouble coming to that conclusion on their own. It's the inverse of what the media normally does, which will be to take one instance of one thing happening and then extrapolate it and say, oh my God, this is just evidence of a giant systemic problem that we need major changes to solve. George Floyd being killed or January 6th occurring. It's not like we had a year of conservatives burning down cities that culminated in the great January 6th event. You had a year of leftists burning down cities, it being downplayed continuously, fiery but peaceful. And sure, some buildings burn and some people died, but this is for a non-existent oppression that we're fighting, right? So it's actually good. So they'll downplay the actual riotous trend that's destroying the country. But then you have one instance of one event with right wingers and it becomes, oh my God, the right wing violence is out of control. We have to shut them down. So if you're a thinking human being, you shouldn't even need me to explain this to you. There is an increasing attitude of violence on the left that is unhinged and unbridled and going totally unaddressed by absolutely anybody in power because they're in favor of it. There's a reason that death threats against us don't get removed from Blue Sky, don't get investigated by the FBI. There's a reason that the left is permitted to be as violent and insane as possible, whereas the right wing is constantly surveilled, constantly crushed, even when what we're doing is not violent, not hateful, and we're not trying to assassinate anybody, because the people in power are ginning up and creating the leftist violence because they're on the leftist side and they understand that power comes at the end of a gun. And they're operating on that maxim. So it's going to get worse until we decide to do something about it, because there's no limiting factor internally.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. Share that URL as much as you possibly can so people know where to find us. And of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a lot of news still to get to. I want to talk about what's going on with Iran as they've attacked the UAE, and there's been some pretty interesting responses from Trump on this. And it looks like the ceasefire, if it ever existed, is pretty much over now. Although Trump launched Operation Freedom, or whatever he's calling it, where they're saying they're going to I don't even know. Are they going to keep the strait closed? They're going to open it up. Whatever he happens to say at that moment, that'll change within 5 minutes. It's all BS, because the point of the Iran war, in my opinion, is both to provide for, you know, greater Israel and the land grab, but also, and almost more importantly, to create the starvation conditions that will permit the global government from instituting rationing, combined with all of the digital ID crap that we're seeing come down the line. So I got to talk about all that. We're going to get into all of that. And I'm not sure. I don't see it here, guys. Do we have the Onion video? Because I do want to address. They mentioned me, but they refused to say my name. Because, of course. And I thought I would address old Tim Heidecker, because as despicable and evil as the man is, he wants me to work for him. It's very strange. So I'd like to officially and formally reject that offer. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. Guys, we can pull in the Onion video and start at around 14 minutes and 15 seconds. Then we will, I'll pause it and respond to old Tim Heidecker. And I don't know if they're going to do another episode of this. I don't know. My guess is that we might never see another episode of this because of how badly this one was received and how badly it did and how unfunny it was and how hard it seemed to be for Tim Heidecker to fill 30 minutes with entertaining material. I know you're not Harrison Smith. You're not Alex Jones. You can't do it 3 or 4 hours a day, every day. You can hardly do it for 2 minutes. I mean, I tried to watch it. I made it about 2 minutes in, and then I just skipped forward until I saw my picture and was like, oh, me. And then I went back and watched this part. So I don't actually know how most of it was, but the first 3 minutes was just they forgot to write jokes. Somebody online was like, you spent $1 million on licensing this, which they didn't. It never went through. But you spent $1 million on lawyers. You hired Tim Heidecker, who's like this, you know, B-list celebrity. But you forgot to write jokes. You forgot to make it funny. You forgot to say anything interesting or compelling or clever whatsoever. Sort of your point, right? I've explained this before. It'd be like you tune into InfoWars and we never talk about geopolitics. It's like, who would listen to us then? That's the point of us existing, is to inform people. So we need to be informative. We need to be educational. We need to have analysis about world events. Otherwise, what are you coming here for? Tim Heidecker is a comedian, and there's no jokes, and nothing is funny. So what is the point of any of this? It's crazy. It's also crazy, and I talked about this yesterday, the Rolling Stones writes the article saying, despite Alex Jones's emergency motion, satirical site The Onion turns over control of InfoWars to comedian and new creative director. What? When they say despite Alex Jones's emergency motion, that means despite that motion going through and the court agreeing to the motion and stopping the purchase of InfoWars by The Onion, as far as I understand. And all of this is just my, you know, personal view on all of this. I have absolutely no legal expertise or ability to even understand most of this stuff, but I can respond to Rolling Stone article headlines that are, I mean, it's hard to even explain. It's like the lie is just embedded. It's not even a lie itself. It's just like embedded within the rest of the statement where it's like, oh, the satirical side, The Onion, turned over InfoWars to Tim Heidecker. And it's like, but they never owned it. What are you talking about? They didn't turn anything over to anybody because they never had it in the first place. Let's go to Tim Heidecker offering me a job. Thanks, Tim. Let's watch.
I have one message now, for specific message for Harrison, Harrison Ford, one of Alex's little toadies. Now,
toadies.
Harrison Ford, I understand that you've been on the air coming at me, going at me, saying slanderous things on Twitter and on your program. And I just want to offer this because we are war fighters.
Now,
hold on.
Let's pause it real quick. I have not said anything defamatory about Tim Heidecker whatsoever. I've said he's not funny. I've said he's a weirdo. I mean, I've insulted him quite a bit, but those are all things that are true and also my opinion. And my name's Harrison Smith. I know you're like afraid to say it for some reason. I don't know why. Say my name, Tim. You have to say my name. You have to say Harrison Smith so people can come find me and learn what it's like to be an actual funny person who actually understands this stuff. Why don't you want them to find me, Tim? Why are you hiding me from them? I want your fans. Give them to me. But you're going to distract by using a famous actor's name. It's Harrison Smith. Damn it. Okay, so he's very mad that I've insulted him. I'm not sorry about that, but he's a war fighter, apparently. Again, what is that? Like, what is he going for is what I'm trying to figure out. He's doing like an Alex Jones impression, but he's not actually pretending to be Alex Jones. He calls himself Tim Heidecker. What is he going for? What's even supposed to be funny about this, I guess, is my question. Let's go back to old Tim, the has-been that never was, calling me Harrison Ford because he's afraid to say my real name. Let's watch.
I am also a man of peace and a man of forgiveness. And let me offer you this. The Alex Jones train has left the station, folks. The Alex Jones train, if you're still on that train, well, you're on a road to nowhere, okay?
Trains aren't on roads, Tim.
This Harrison Ford kid is a young kid.
No, I'm not.
He's afforded the opportunity to make some mistakes in life, and
Let's pause it. I guess compared to Tim, I'm a young man. I'm a 36-year-old father of three. This youthful glow that I have, that's because of the supplements we sell at thealexjonesstore.com. Okay? This wasn't the first episode, just a nice little preview, more to come. Oh, great. No, it was bad on purpose, guys. No, trust me. No, this wasn't the real show. You thought this was the real show because we said it was? No. The real show's going to be good. The real show's going to actually be good, guys. Trust me. No, this was just a little thing. We didn't even think it was going to be good. We did it as a joke, actually. Gotcha. You all thought this was the real show, you idiots. Yeah, nobody believes you. This was your show. It was terrible. It was, technically just awful. Like, it really makes you appreciate Alex Jones, doesn't it? Really makes you appreciate the showmanship, the quality of the studios that we have, the effort that we put behind it, the fact that we can actually carry on a thought that people want to hear for more than a couple seconds. But, okay, sorry. He's calling me a young man because of my youthful energy, because of my vivacious attitude, I guess you might say. But no, I'm not very young, actually. I'm 36 years old. I'm the father of three. I've been working here for 9 years, and it's been fun as hell. What's it? Tim Onion, Ben Collins says, last night was fun as hell, and hoo boy, we have much more planned for the official takeover. Glad everyone liked the emergency broadcast. Well, nobody liked the emergency broadcast. Not even your fans liked it. Every single comment under the YouTube channel were like, wow, I bet this hurts your voice, Tim. And, you know, if you're going to make a biting political satire, what you don't want is people being distracted by the sort of overwhelming effort that you have to put into the impression. So, and again, I'm just, you know, I'm going to have to wait. Hopefully I won't have to wait long, but I'm going to wait until The Onion gives up and fails and admits defeat. And then, and only then, will I reveal here on air the secret to parodying Alex Jones, because I know it. I could do it if I wanted, and nobody else understands how to parody Alex Jones. I do, and I'm not going to tell them how, because they would steal it from me, and they would try to do it. But I'm going to let them suffer. I'm going to let them flail about, fail, and only then will I reveal the secret to parodying Alex Jones. It's very simple, but nobody else knows it. Again, it's funny. People are just like, I'm just glad at how mad Alex is at this. It's like, Alex is in the best mood I've ever seen him in. You think he cares about any of this? Again, better men than you have tried, Tim. I don't know if I have it here, but I tweeted it out. The trash pile ever grows. Because you've got, I mean, so many people have tried to do direct parodies of Alex Jones, and none of them have succeeded. And they've all been better than Tim's, okay? You know, Tuck Buckford at least, you know, had some energy behind it. Let's go back to Tim. He's about to offer me a job, hilariously enough. Let's watch.
Forgiveness, and I want to offer this to you as a personal message to you, Harrison Ford. You come to me, you sit at my feet, you kiss my feet, kiss my hands, and rub oil on my feet and beg for my forgiveness, and we'll find a home for you here. We want to work with you, kid.
I'm going to pause
it. You got talent.
And we're going to wait. We got to back it up 5 seconds so I can hear him compliment me again. you cuck. We're just going to wait for a second. I'm going to pause here. We're going to have some dead air. I got to wait for everybody to stop laughing at that hilarious joke. I mean, we're all, it's a gut buster, isn't it? When he's talking about like, oh, you're going to have to like kiss my feet. It's like, whoa, I was not prepared for that one. Tough, big, tough guy stuff. Now, interestingly enough, I, in all sincerity, have invited Tim to come to InfoWars. I invited him to go to the studio. I invite him to come now. I mean, hell, we can go over there. You want to get a tour through the studio? You won't do that, though. Why won't he do that? I mean, again, like, genuinely, if he really believes what he says, if he really thinks that we're all, like, these crazy kook idiots, why would he not want to come? Why would he not want to reveal us, show us, get the behind-the-scenes footage? So it's this weird passive-aggressive, he's going to ignore my invite, then pretend that he's inviting me. It's very weird. All right, so here he is offering me a job, and then again, it's like I'm not even upset. I'm insulted at the lack of comedy. I'm insulted at the lack of creativity. I'm insulted that there's not a single punchline in any of this. It's lazy. It's uncreative. It's pathetic. If you're gonna make fun of us, you should at least be funny. You would think that would be a bare minimum requirement, but these people cannot seem to remember to make jokes. Let's go back to whatever his name is.
Oil on my feet and beg for my forgiveness, and we'll find a home for you here. We want to work with you, kid. You got talent. We got to get rid of those stupid glasses you're wearing. You look like a serial killer, I suppose. I don't know if that's what you're going for, but that's all right.
A serial killer.
We're going to get you a makeover.
First of all, Tim, I'm what you might call a trendsetter. You'll notice now all the cool kids are wearing these glasses. I just happen to be the first. And you know, you pay a price for being ahead of the curve. You pay the price for being a trendsetter and a trailblazer. Just ask Alex Jones. But again, I'm not even insulted at the insult. I'm insulted at the lack of creativity. Serial killer glasses, really? You made the only joke anybody's ever made about these glasses that's not even a joke, because serial killers really did wear these glasses. That's actually, yeah, that's the style, basically. Yeah, I've come into it. They're actually more of the, you know, heavily armed cult leader glasses. I prefer to think of them as that, or just straight up everybody's grandfather's glasses, since literally everybody in the 1980s wore these glasses. And some people just kept wearing them. Look at that. Look at that guy. That's what I'm going for. That's the style right there. You gotta love it. So I'm a fashion trailblazer, and Tim Heidecker, what is that, Polish? He can't handle it. He doesn't get it. And it's sad and it's pathetic. And I'm going to have to reject your offer. Thank you, but no thank you, Tim. You do not deserve to benefit from my extraordinary genius, and I will continue to inform and entertain people here on the Alex Jones Network to an audience many times larger than yours. Okay, how about we do that? How about instead of going on your network and getting 2,000 views like your podcast does, how about I talk to a radio audience of millions?
That's right.
Every single day?
He has to piggyback on us, try to steal our skin to get the attention. But I want to say, I finally got to get glasses. I'm going to get American Psycho glasses with you. I'm going to get Ted Bundy glasses with you.
Cool, right? You made fun of them at first, but I think they're growing on you.
No, this is the new thing. You know, my dad always wore those. It's actually good. They work well.
I know.
Wide field, bare steel. You have American Psycho. You have David Koresh Plus. Yours are even worse.
That's right. I got the biggest ones I could find.
These are literal American serial killer, American Psycho Plus jumbos.
That's right. So I even have ones just like that that go dark in the sun.
Well,
I got transitions.
Those are more like Carrera glasses. I got some of those. You're not that fashionable. Watch out.
But how pathetic is it?
This Heidecker thing is even worth it. As soon as we stop talking about him, it's going to go away.
I know. Well, I thought I'd do one response.
No,
just let him know.
That's all right.
I just think it's like, can he not be more creative? Everybody calls these serial killer glasses. He's supposed to be this comedic genius. He can't even write a single joke.
Oh, it's so original. We're going to drink the blood of children here. Well, the point is, it's the, like, with all the Epstein background, all the Satanism background, everybody's aware of that.
Right.
He started doing that 10 years ago when all the stuff broke as part of the, you know, the order. We know he's a hack. They're all, you know, the MSNBC censor guy's the head guy. They get marching orders. Get Alex Jones. We all know that. So it's not like, oh, it's just comedy, pedophilia, Satanism, kidnap kids. No, they're there to make a joke out of it, to smokescreen it.
Yep.
I mean, come on, Heidecker, you're not that stupid. You know what you're doing, buddy. We're not dumb either. And by the way, America's not dumb.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's like with the Epstein files and all of the crap that's come out recently, it's like, how are you even going to make fun of this?
Everything they talk about in that show about international water and islands and poison to the kids.
It's absolutely true.
That's what they did. That's like, I barely knew that then and barely know it now. That's like showing great knowledge of this.
Well, you know, they've been in some trouble with that, man. Maybe we won't get into it.
Oh, there's more you know. I don't know about it.
There's some bad, not with Tim, but with his partner, his comedy partner.
Ooh,
back in the day.
You got to brief me today.
A little bit. Maybe I'll give you the update to the rumors.
I don't want rumors.
Well, I think these are just, I don't want to say anything because I don't know. It's unconfirmed. It's unconfirmed.
10 years ago, almost no one knew. I had to study FBI files and other stuff.
Yeah.
Like the poison of the kids, the sleep deprivation.
Yeah. I mean, their whole thing is just
too much poison.
You
got a dead clown. That's no good.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. It's disgusting. It's just like lowering the resonance of everybody in America.
Well, it's not funny.
Well, right. And it's
like
also
having four kids poop on an adult. And they said the term. I know that was a whole fetish.
Yeah.
But they're teaching you this type of stuff.
Yeah.
My son's only at the sweetest meats or sloppiest meats.
That's disgusting. Well, and we were talking about David Cross the other day because he was on with Bill Maher. And I was saying, look, David Cross is a political idiot, but he's funny. And like Arrested Development, he's the best character on there. I'm not saying Tim Heidecker's not funny because of his politics. He's genuinely never been funny. His show's never been funny. It's awful. And he's sort of the last vanguard of a time when they could just make people popular.
But here's the deal. Notice that Saturday Night Live hadn't been funny for like 8 years, and they made up stuff about Trump. Now that it's all real, it's funny as hell.
Right.
You got to have something real to do it, you know?
Yeah, and we'll actually enjoy it because we're not humorless, unlike these guys. But I thought, you know, this whole project of theirs is going to crash and burn in no time. So I'm taking advantage of the little bit that we have now.
It's not about them failing. It's about the DOJ funding this and their fake auctions and the fact that it's criminal.
True.
All right. Of course, they're just mercenary, washed-up people they chose as their front. It's Bloomberg, it's the Democrats, it's the tax-free foundations that raised $300 million off our name. That's the it's Koskoff and Koskoff. It's Paul Weiss.
Yeah.
It's that system. They use these clowns as their front.
Yeah. And that's why they get to do whatever the hell they want. Oh, there you go.
Those are not psychopathic enough.
Those aren't psychopathic enough, he says. They need to be crazier.
Bigger.
Bigger. More obnoxious. Here, put these on. We do a couple styles. I can't see anything now, so.
Damn, these are Coke bottle glasses, dude.
Yeah, I know. I got bad eyesight. That's the only downside. They're too thick.
I kidnap kids now and put them on cruise ships. Me and my buddy Heidecker. Next, we don't.
So there you go, folks. So, nope, I'm not joining you, Tim. I'm not joining The Onion. I'm sticking with the winners. I'm sticking with the sure thing, the sure bet, the Alex Jones Network. And I really do hope that you stick with us, too, because, look, whether it's a joke from these guys or really what they're doing, it's just there's just this sickness that pours out of them. There's just this degeneracy that they revel in. And it's a joke half the time, but it's not really a joke. And it just overall lowers the quality of, the media the world over. I think the Tim and Eric Awesome Show sort of ruined commercials for a little while. But again, these guys, you know, came up in a time and were sort of the last people that it's like they were plucked, you know, by the powers that be and put in their positions and told that these people are famous and funny. Everybody think these people are famous and funny. And of course, it's almost symbolic that, you know, he ends up being possibly one of the, you know, crucial people kicking Sam Hyde off of Adult Swim because Tim and Eric Awesome Show was being crushed by Million Dollar Extreme World Peace. So, you know, he's not used to a universe in which competition actually decides the winner. He's used to being chosen, to being selected, to being, you know, forced down everybody's throat. You're in our world now, buddy. Nobody cares who the Hollywood producers tell you to like anymore. In fact, that makes us despise them more. We have to live and die on our own popularity, on our own audience. If they don't support us, we go down. We don't have sugar daddies. We don't have the billions of dollars. We don't have the institutional backing like you scumbags do. We have to actually be who we say we are. We have to actually do something people want to watch. We have to actually make money by selling good products. The good news is, we do all of that and more and have become extremely well-versed and successful at it. So I hope you can support us as we go into the future. I hope that you can metaphorically and symbolically spit in the eye of our enemies by going to thealexjonesstore.com, making a purchase, buying a supplement, buying a t-shirt, buying a hat, buying anything really, knowing that every dollar you spend there is another metaphorical bullet in our chamber, another gallon of gas in our tank to go another mile or two down the road. Please support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And my wife loves the glasses, so they're staying on.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalist. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing him. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why callers call in and thank me. I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL, AlexJonesLive.com. You know, I was gonna just move on from this, but Nick Fuentes had a really good take about what's happened to InfoWars, and I thought I'd play this. I played a clip from him yesterday. This is a different one. Clip number 10 here. This is Nick Fuentes, again, sort of laying out in a way that is accurate and good, but I also want to correct him on something minor here. So I think, again, it's important to both highlight, like, yes, he's right about what he's saying, but it's worse than he even says. So let's go to clip 10 here. This is Nick Fuentes on the destruction of InfoWars. Let's watch.
Alex Jones has an unbelievably impressive operation. At one time, he was clearing, according to court documents, $50 million a year is what they say. He made $150 million in 3 years. At the end of the 2010s, was popular. People like the show. He is getting shut down. Why? because an activist funded a lawsuit against him and the courts are rigged. The courts, which can be rigged through jury selection and because the judges might not like you, it's a rigged system. These activist groups with unlimited money found a plaintiff, filed a complaint. They rigged the court system every step of the way, and now Alex Jones has a $1 billion debt. He's popular, he's competitive, but because of this political attack, he's got a $1 billion debt, he's now insolvent. Is anybody gonna buy him out? Who was gonna buy him out? Who can buy him out? Who can swoop in like Larry Ellison did for Barry Weiss and give him his $100 million golden parachute? Who's gonna make him the chair of a legacy big three network? Nobody. Nobody. Wanna know why? Because his last name is Jones. That's why. Because his last name isn't Shapiro. His name isn't Weiss. That's why. Alex Jones is not going to get a golden parachute because the Texas oil money, the Gentiles, they don't work like this. They don't think like this. He's not going to get put in the game by a patriotic Gentile. And the same goes for Candace Owens. She is unbelievably popular, whatever you think about her. And I have my criticisms. I think some of the things she's put out is not true or reckless or whatever. But you cannot deny she is a phenomenon. She gets 3-4 million views an episode. Talk to any right-wing woman on earth. She's a Candace Owens fan. She's huge. And even people that aren't political like her, even people that are liberal like her. And you could say whatever you want about it, but it's just what it is. She's whatever you want to call that aptitude, she's got a talent for that. She's got the X factor. Huge success, hugely popular, raking in the dough. Same story. They're going to do the same thing to her that they did to Alex Jones.
Again, I think sort of that last line is the most troubling of all of it, because you know it's absolutely true. I mean, it is already true. The Macrons are already suing her, and you know she'll probably, you know, get some other, you know, big case against him. And oh, we might get hit with some other, you know, big fabricated thing. You know, if you start seeing headlines tying Alex Jones, something you talked about 10 years ago, just get ready. This is coming again. And it's just knowing that all of these pressures are brought to bear against anybody who's capable of showing the American people that you can succeed on your own. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And I was talking to Rex Jones about this the other day, about the fact that one of the primary reasons that Alex Jones has been a target for destruction is because they want to teach the American people, here's what happens if you try to do this. Here's what happens if you go up against us. And especially, here's what happens if you become our peer. If you, on your own and by your own volition, build your own independent network that can stand toe-to-toe with the big guys, that's the threat. That's the real threat. If Alex Jones was what they say he was, if he was profligate and, you know, deceptive and, you know, didn't care about, you know, burning his credibility, if he thought he could say something that was, you know, super, you know, attention grabbing, then we would never have built what we've built here. If he was spending money on fancy cars instead of building the studio, if, you know, we were just sort of whiling away and just hoping against hope that the American justice system would work out for us, then we would have been gone a long time ago. But Alex Jones set this up, knowing that these attacks were coming, and built systems to withstand the attacks. And at the end of the day, InfoWars isn't just competing with the big boys. We outcompete them on almost every front, but probably every front except for like money from BlackRock, right? They outdo us on that front. But, I mean, Alex goes over the numbers all the time. And it's not just us. It's Joe Rogan. It's everybody. It's all these popular people. It's Tucker Carlson. I mean, we get many, many, many times more views than every CBS news show combined. But the two things I wanted to, well, the one thing I wanted to correct Fuentes on there, because I think he's exactly right again, but when I'm listening to it, and he's talking in almost vague ways about the way in which trials can be rigged. And it just came across me. I was like, I need to hit up Nick and be like, I need to explain to you just some of the details about how this was rigged, because it wasn't a vague thing. It wasn't, well, you can find a good judge, you know, a judge that is on your side, or you can use jury selection to rig that. No, no, no. It was rigged. It was a show trial. So that's why, like, again, I just so appreciate Nick laying this out for people in a way that only he could. But it's worse than he even says. This wasn't just like a, well, you know, he lost the trial, but it was probably rigged, kind of like, eh, things can be rigged, and that's probably what happened here. No, no, no. The default judgment was totally fraudulent, in my opinion, my personal and unprofessional opinion. But it's absolutely true, and you can go look it up yourself. The default judgment was unprecedented, ridiculous, and completely, like, unqualified, like, unnecessary. Not the right thing to do at that moment, but they did it anyway. It was coordinated. I mean, there was a script from HBO. The jury that was there, it wasn't a matter of jury selection that rigged the trial. The jury was there simply to decide how guilty Jones was. They were never given an opportunity to even put forward a not guilty decision. The jury was literally a prop for the show trial. That's what, again, it's like, even people that are on our side and understand this, I don't think they still don't understand just how thoroughly corrupt this entire system was. Not in a vague and speculative way, but in a distinct and detailed way I could go through. Every step was just a cacophony of corruption to really an unbelievable degree. So maybe that'd make a good show, you know, sitting down with Nick and just going over exactly what happened throughout the entire trial, because it was not a matter of jury selection or a friendly judge. It was a matter of full scale show trial. So, but I appreciate that. And then I also like that he says, because his last name is Jones, because I hadn't really thought about it, but the fact that the two hosts on Alex Jones Live are Jones and Smith, it's like you couldn't be more American. Literally the two most common last names in America, Jones and Smith. It's like pure Americana. You cannot get more American than us. Both Alex and I both have ancestors on the Mayflower. We both have ancestors that fought in the Texas Revolution, and we're part of Stephen F. Austin's old 300, the first Anglos to settle in what was Tejas, Mexican Texas. We go way back, like our ancestors literally were already doing this 200 years ago, side by side, fighting the evil, fighting the tyrants. In that case, founding a country, and in this case, desperately trying to save one. It's also interesting that we both have Welsh and German ancestry. Again, I don't know what the special thing about that mix is, but I throw in a little bit of a Sicilian in my bloodline too. So I got that edge to me. I got that part of my brain that I wake up being compelled to go seek vengeance for something, go commit my life to some sort of vengeance. But hasn't happened yet. One day we can hope. Like, I don't know how much more to express that we are the absolute real deal in a world of endless fraudulence and deception and manipulation. InfoWars, like, if you don't know that we're the real deal, I got to question your judgment, because it should be obvious to absolutely everybody with how right we've been for so long. But anyway, we'll move on. Sorry, not to brag as much, but you should support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one-stop shop for truth, justice, and the American way, as we continue to champion classical Americana values that everybody in the world admits are the best values in the world, and basically only refuse to abide by those values if they think they can, you know, get something over on somebody. But at the end of the day, like I said, you see a lot of the people on the right wing that were really obsessed with race, they're coming around going, you know, what's actually important is like your values and whether you like truly support America. It's just like everybody on every side that always called us an extremist on the other side, they're all sort of coming in. They're all gathering towards us like a magnetic attraction, because the more you think about this and the more you study this, the more likely it is that you arrive at the point that Alex Jones arrived at 30 years ago, that it's pure Americana. It's the founding fathers. It's the founding documents. It's the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. That is our watchword. That is our North Star. That is what we pursue indefatigably. And all the other distractions are just that. and you can entertain them for a little while. But if you're a smart, intelligent, thoughtful, and forward-thinking person, you always come back to the understanding that we have the right system. It's just not being enforced. The only thing necessary to save this country are mass deportations and a resolute application of already existing laws. Anybody telling you otherwise is probably a communist. All right, I've been wanting to play this video for a little while. It's Tucker Carlson, an interview with the New York Times. And I thought this was one of the most shocking videos I've ever seen. I literally watched it like 10 times. I retweeted this saying I watched it 10 times because I just wanted to absorb it, just study it, and just really pick apart every single line in this. So Tucker Carlson is being interviewed by a lady from the New York Times, and they get into a sort of back and forth about who is more or less moral between Ted Cruz and Nick Fuentes. And while Tucker is making points and responding directly to the woman's claims or questions, notice how it doesn't even seem like she is aware that Tucker is saying anything. Okay, it's crazy. But like he says stuff, and you can actually see as her brain filters it into the junk drawer and just in one ear and out the other. It really is amazing, especially when we break down at the end, like what's actually going on here. I think you'll see what I mean. Let's go to clip 8 here. Tucker asks, is denying the Holocaust more important than killing kids? Let's watch.
Who do you think is more morally repulsive, Ted Cruz or
who
Nick
do you
Fuentes?
Think is more morally repulsive?
Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a sitting U.S. senator who has called for the killing of people who did nothing wrong, whole populations who advocated for this war. Nick Fuentes is like a kid. He's like 26 or 70. He has no power except his words. Here you have a public official who we pay, who has actual power, who's voting for things, who's making policy decisions, and those decisions would include, in fact, they are focused on the murder of people who did nothing wrong. And yet no one thinks it's a big deal. Well, this is totally fine. I mean, if there's tape of Nick Fuentes saying we should kill people because we hate their parents, or it's okay to kill children, I would love to see the tape because that's disgusting. And that's basically what the entire U.S. Senate does every single day. And no one notices. Nick Fuentes said something naughty that I disagreed with. He made fun of things that I don't think I would never make fun
He's
of them.
He's a white nationalist who's denied the Holocaust. And what I will say,
okay,
from
but
my
is that
own
worse than killing kids?
From my understanding of my own, you know, I was just in Germany recently. And, you know, it was such a good reminder that the Holocaust didn't start with the gassing of Jews. It started with the dehumanization of Jews. It was language that was used. And again, right. That is what it concerns people.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why when you have a U.S. senator, a member of Congress, a U.S. ambassador waving away civilian deaths as if they don't matter, that's the language of genocide, which results, and this is the lesson of the Holocaust, in genocide itself. And it has. So the lesson for me, really, watching all of this, is that this can happen in civilized countries. In all human beings, there is the capacity to ignore the evil right in front of you. And my point is, it's happening right now. And my job, to the extent I have one, I don't really have a job, but I just want to remind people that we're all capable of that, including me, and that we're watching it right now. And if you think that Nick Fuentes is a greater threat to other human beings than Ted Cruz, I would love to know how.
I can imagine people hearing this and thinking you are soft-pedaling Nick Fuentes. You are apologizing
for
Nick Fuentes.
I'm hardly soft-pedaling Nick Fuentes. I'm trying to awaken people to killing of innocents in our midst, which we are not only encouraged to ignore, but really told to ignore on pain of being denounced. And I'm just saying, no, I'm not doing that.
So, you know, I find that to be one of the most incredible pieces of conversation I've ever heard. I mean, where to even begin, right? He's making a very cogent and obvious point that Ted Cruz doesn't just say things, he has power. But the things that he says and the things that inform the power that he wields are literally genocidal and insane. Meanwhile, Nick Fuentes basically just doesn't adhere to the blasphemy laws that we're supposed to all absorb and enforce ourselves. And it really is just, I don't even know how to explain it when Tucker Carlson goes on like a 2-minute monologue just laying out the argument in perfect clarity as to why Nick Fuentes, being a popular young streamer and not adhering to the, you know, top-down orthodoxy of what we're supposed to believe about things, is nowhere near as big of a threat, even if your entire concern is predicated on the Holocaust, as an understanding that it's an emblematic symbol of, as Tucker Carlson related, the capacity of human beings, even intelligent, you know, informed and educated human beings, to fall into a trap of totalitarianism and senseless murder. If that's what you're hyper-concerned about, then Tucker Carlson is the one laying out how this is happening right now. If that was your concern, just in a unbiased way, you wanted to stop that process no matter who it applied to or how it was taking place, then you would be on Tucker Carlson's side. And to hear him go off on this 2-minute monologue and her response just to be like, sounds like you're soft-pedaling Nick Fuentes. It's like, is she a robot? Did she not understand anything he just said? He just made a very powerful, cogent, clear argument as to why Ted Cruz is more morally repulsive than Nick Fuentes is, and she like can't even comprehend it. She can't even figure out what it is that he's saying. She just like results back to like, but you didn't condemn Nick. I told you to condemn Nick and you didn't. And he's like, right, here's why. Ted Cruz said this, Nick Fuentes said this, I consider this far more morally repulsive than this. And she's like, condemn him now. It's like, what are we supposed to do with these people? What are we supposed to do? But the two things she said, so again, Tucker Carlson gives this very well-reasoned description of why he thinks Ted Cruz is morally repulsive and more so than Nick Fuentes. And she responds, but he's a white nationalist and a Holocaust denier. First of all, so what? Who cares? Second of all, I don't even think he is. In fact, I know that he's not. I know he's not a white nationalist because he just never has been. That's a particular political ideology and, you know, political construct that I'm fairly certain Nick does not promote or support. I mean, you may characterize his beliefs as white nationalist, but what you think when people hear white nationalist is they think like a supremacy movement that wants to expel or kill all non-white people. That's ridiculous. First of all, his name is Fuentes, so it's like just totally absurd on the face of it. And I don't think he's ever denied the Holocaust either. I've never heard him deny the Holocaust. I've heard him make jokes about the question about the numbers, which again, okay. And I've heard him question like specific details, but I also heard him explain in his own words why he does that and how it is a deliberate blasphemy against this state religion we're all, you know, supposed to adhere to. It's like, no, I'm killing your sacred cows. I'm deliberately letting you know that I do not take your concern seriously. I do not think that the sacred figures in your religion are sacred figures in my religion. So I will mock them because I have a First Amendment right to do so. But when she says these two labels that I don't think apply to Nick, but, you know, are used to silence him, they're code words for other stuff. When she says white nationalism, what she means is white advocacy. What she means is white people wanting to prevent or fight back against their own total deconstruction, eradication, genocide. That's what they mean by white nationalist. White nationalist is any white person that hasn't absorbed the guilt and doesn't feel like they and their race need to, you know, die so justice can reign on the earth. But that's what she means when she says white nationalist. Just like when she says Holocaust denier, she's not talking about the details of the Holocaust. She's smearing him and labeling him as somebody that refuses to abide by all of the not insinuations, but everything that comes along with the story of the Holocaust. Because the story of the Holocaust, as it's told now to elementary school kids and, you know, people here in America, it's not Germany's bad and America are the heroes. It's white people are bad because they hurt the Jews. And it's not white people are bad because they hurt people. It's because they hurt the Jews. And if you, you know, have a memorial where you, you know, honor the Catholic victims of the Holocaust, they'll call you anti-Semitic and like protest and maybe shut down your event. It's happened fairly recently. So it's not about the historical event of the Holocaust, World War II, and the huge and horrifying number of innocent people murdered by regimes during World War II. It's about what that stuff is supposed to be like shorthand for. It's about the way that that concept and that propaganda episode is used to control and destroy people here in America today. She's mad that he's rejecting that. He's mad that she's mad that he's rejecting, Nick Fuentes is rejecting the guilt we're supposed to feel over the thing that our ancestors fought and died to stop. That we're supposed to be scared of authoritarianism because it can lead to the Holocaust, scared of criticizing Jewish people because it can lead to the Holocaust, scared of being a nationalist because, hey, the Nazis were nationalists and they did the Holocaust. It's that by associating all of these positive things with this negative thing, you can say if you don't, you know, get rid of these positive things, really, you must be a Holocaust denier. If you refuse to accept the guilt and therefore the, you know, policy measures on the basis of your guilt, your racial participation in the Holocaust, then you're a bad guy. And we should all be rejecting that outright. And we should all be rejecting anybody like this woman who has no interest in the truth, has absolutely no concern for people outside of her own. Tucker Carlson is sitting there describing the way in which Palestinians are brutally and viciously dehumanized in an effort to carry out an ongoing genocide, and she just doesn't even hear it. She does not care. She could not care less. And he asks her, which is worse, questioning the Holocaust or killing children? Now, she doesn't answer. But I think it's a real question. I think it's a serious question. It might seem ridiculous. It might seem crazy. But is it? Is it worse? I don't know. I mean, I've seen some glowing, you know, articles, you know, biographically profiling baby killers from Israel. Like talking about how hard it was and how sad it is for these IDF soldiers to have PTSD from all of the children that they've killed. They get rehabilitated. They get, you know, their sins washed away because what they were doing was honorable and in pursuit of a righteous goal. So I don't know if it is actually such a rhetorical or self-evident question. I think we do need an answer. Which is worse, killing children or questioning the Holocaust? Because if you kill children, you know, you can still participate in public life in America, but not if you question the Holocaust, because that's the only sin that really exists anymore.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro, let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at theAlexJonesStore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, AlexJonesLive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at AlexJonesApp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalist. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.